Gospel reading today is from the fourth chapter of Mark's Gospel. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let's go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, the disciples took Jesus with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great gale arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. They woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up, and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. Jesus said to his disciples, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" They were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The second reading is from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the second letter, chapter 6. Paul writes, "As we work together with him, we urge you not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, 'At an acceptable time, I have listened to you. And on a day of salvation, I have helped you.' See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found in our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way through great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. With the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute, we are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet we're well known, as dying and see, we are alive, and as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, and I speak as to children, open wide your hearts also." These are the words of Paul. When Jesus walked among us, he showed us what it means to be human. And he disclosed to us a clearer image of God. God, our Father. By his life, he showed us how the two integrate, how to be a better human, and how we can better enter into a relationship with God. Paul, the epistle writer, Paul followed the path that the resurrected Jesus laid before him. And in doing so, Paul becomes an example to us. In his letter to the Corinthian community, Paul wrote about himself. But in doing so, he told us what he, a man, did to help that community. I'd like to use his list this morning as a guide to talk about the qualities that a good father has. Paul's list is comprehensive and I think quite useful to us today. A man by the name of Richard Jones wrote a short passage about a father returning from work. Mr. Jones wrote, "Coming up from the subway into the cool Manhattan evening, I feel rough hands on my heart. Women in the market yelling over rows of tomatoes and peppers. Old men sitting on a stoop playing cards. Cabbies cursing each other with fists. While the music of church bells sails over the street. And the father, angry and tired after working all day, sees and embraces his little girl kissing her. Mi vida, mi corazón. My life, my heart," brushing the hair out of her eyes so she can see. A father wears many hats. We have many jobs on our daddy do list. And a father is more than, however, jobs on a list that he eventually gets to, at least eventually in our house. A father is a person who nurtures, but as a man nurtures. A man tends to be there, to be available, but not to impose himself on his children. A father is a man who does not put obstacles in his children's way. He's there to help, both when asked and when not asked, to either volunteer or to be at the ready. A father has great endurance. In a physical fight, say boxing or in sports, basketball, soccer, football, a player can fake a lot of action. But one thing you can't fake is endurance. Either you have it or you don't. You can't fake endurance. So when you're out of breath and muscles are burning and there's a little bit more push available, the great athlete tries to make that push. And a great father always tries to make that push also. He makes it available because he loves his children. In life, we face afflictions, hardships, and calamities. The lack of money, the lack of time, so often beat us down or even imprison us. But a strong man who is a father will rise above those hardships and do what he can for his children. He will see his children through the rough spots of life. With a smile on my face, I recall in Paul's letter that he wrote of riots and labors and sleepless nights. As a father, I can relate to sleepless nights, and I can relate to labors. My daughter's now in her mid-30s and quite settled in her personality and her lifestyle. So my sleepless nights are pretty much over. The labors continue. But Paul also wrote of riots. Now, Paul's riots were riots in the streets, riots where Roman soldiers had to go save him from a crowd. So I can't imagine when I go back to my daughter's teenage years and her antics that there were riots. But sometimes when I close my eyes, I do remember two times. But let's move on to the qualities of a man. The first quality is purity. And we always think in purity of one sense, but purity has many senses. Purity really means that there's nothing to impede us, that we are transparent, that we are who we are. A pure person is a wholesome person. And a wholesome person is an honorable person, a man with integrity. An impure male is a corrupt male, a male who somehow is contaminated in some way. Over the course of decades, I've been to many funerals. And I always find it an honor at those funerals when the children turn to me and say, "My dad was a decent man." And I often think of what an epithet to put on someone's tombstone. What a good life. My dad was a decent man. Another quality we talked about is knowledge. A man should have knowledge, not just about his job, but also about society, about family, about his children's life and their likes and dislikes, his spouse's life and her likes and dislikes. I learned over the course of years that sometimes men know more about their hobbies than they do about their children. There are many comedians who make jokes about men and directions, and I can tell you that I've never been lost. Way down deep in our inmost heart, we know in our reptilian brain that we don't know where we are. But somehow we have a feeling through our inner survival skills that we can get out of the mess. The trouble is that in 2009, the only survival skills that most of us have is learning how to operate a microwave. And the other truth is that the only guys that enter the deep, deep woods are really bad golfers. Which leads me to the next quality, and that's patience. To be a great father is to work at being patient. Children, if we can make any comparison at all, are like cats. They have their own mind. They have their own clock. You can never understand their moods. When they want your attention, they will do almost anything to get it. And when you want their attention, even the prayers of a saint won't get it. The next quality is kindness. A kind man is a compassionate man, a generous man, generous with his time, and generous with his stuff. A kind man is a caring man. You cannot envision a great father who is not considerate or sympathetic or thoughtful. And no man who is truly a father is cruel, which leads us to holiness of spirit. Today's gospel story shows us the utter anxiety of the disciples of Jesus who were in the boat with him when a great gale arose. We are told that the waves were so high that they were swamping the boat. And during the storm, while the boat was filling with water, where was Jesus? He was in the stern, sleeping on a soft cushion. So there he was, as C.S. Lewis says, 100% man and 100% God, sleeping comfortably on a cushion in the boat, rocking, being put to sleep. His fellow passengers in the boat woke him up, probably knee or ankle deep in water, and must have been screaming at him with fright, yelling that they were going to perish. And they were probably wondering why he didn't care. After he woke up, Jesus turned to them and asked him a question. Why are you afraid? And then he said, have you still no faith? Now, the disciples of Jesus were still being formed, as we today in this great church are being formed also. They were filled with awe, but they were filled with awe for the wrong reason. They were in awe because Jesus had said to the sea, be calm. And the winds died down, and the water became a dead calm. So they then turned to one another and said, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? But they missed what Jesus asked them. What Jesus asked them was, why are you afraid? And have you still no faith? Because the people were in awe of Jesus' miracle, they missed the significance of Jesus' faith, and they missed the significance of him asking them about their faith. Because faith is what makes a follower of Jesus. Faith is trust. Faith means not to be afraid. Faith means to have holiness of spirit. What Jesus calls us to is to have that inner spirituality that leads us to complete wholeness, complete holiness, and that holiness and that wholeness makes us stand up as followers of Christ. That holiness that God had, that Jesus had in his Father God, was that holiness that leads us to believe and to trust in God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That holiness leads us then to a genuine response, and that genuine response is love of our fellow humans. And what more love can we have? What more love can a father have than to love his children? What more love can a parent have than to love their children? For a great father is a loving father, a father who has genuine love for his children and will give his life for his children. A man who loves will show love in a manly way, and that man is a strong man. The father who loves will have children who realize that love. Yet we must remember that people return love in ways that we may not expect, because everybody loves back in their own way. There's no one way for a person to return the love of another, and especially so by children. So a father understands that as children grow, they may think their own way, they're going to act their own way, they're going to vote their own way, they're going to decide issues their own way, but they are still the children of God. There's a passage I found by a man by the name of Hanselak called The Egg. It's a very simple passage. I like the last line very much because the last line is so very simple. And simple, and in its simplicity is love. I'm scrambling an egg for my daughter. Why are you always whistling? She asks. Because I'm happy. And it's true, though it stuns me to say it out loud. There was a time when I wouldn't have seen it in my future. It's partly a matter of who is there to eat the egg. The self fallen out of love with itself through the tedium of familiarity, or this little self, so curious, so hungry, who emerged from the woman I love, a woman who has loved me in a way I've come to think I deserve, now that it arrives from outside me. Everything changes, we're told, and now the changes are everywhere. The house with its morning light that fills me like a revelation. The yard with its trees that cast a bit more shade each summer. The love of a woman that is both is and isn't confounding. And the love of this clamor of questions at my waist. Clamor of questions, you clamor of answers. Here's your egg. Which leads us to truthful speech. The father is not false. He's not false to his family. He's not false to himself. Earlier I spoke of transparency. Children can see, easily see, through their parents. I'll give you a plain example. You have a father who's out bicycling with his children. Let's just say they're ages 5, 8, and 13. The children are all wearing bike helmets. Dad is not. And I ask you, when the children are alone and dad is not around, will the children wear a bike helmet? Children watch us very carefully. And that, by the way, has been very scary to me as my daughter grew up. She noticed more about me than I want to know, both good and bad. Which leads us then to the last quality, to really feel and know the power of God. Consider the awesome responsibility of fatherhood, of parenthood, and how comforting it is to know that the power of God can overcome our failings as fathers. To know that God's power can make right what which we inadvertently made wrong. To know that God's power can heal the wounds we cause by not doing something in a better way. And to know that God's power in us can do so very much. That when we cannot do what we need to do by ourselves, that God's power is there. Our children grow up so very fast. My daughter's in her 30s, but in my heart she remains the newborn that I saw in the hospital before my wife even saw her. I learned over the years to make every effort to treat my daughter as an individual and treat her appropriate to her age as she grew up. So for many years and at many times as she began into teenage years and then into young adulthood, I found that I could no longer be the protective father or the overlooking father or the overburdening father. But as time grew on, I had to be more and more of a companion to my daughter. And the result is, which is that I think my daughter and I are good friends. Today is Father's Day, a day when we honor fathers. And that's why Rob and I thought the best thing to do, especially with a barbecue, is to wear Levi's. Because this way you can sit on the grass and kneel on the grass. And if children spill barbecue sauce on the pants, there is no problem. With that idea, I want to close with Paul's final line from his letter. He wrote, "We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our hearts are wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. And I return, I speak as children, open wide your hearts also." So a father is to have no restriction in his affections, but to love freely. A father has to be a child in the way that a child opens wide his or her heart to accept love. And with that in mind, we can respond to Jesus' two questions. The first question being, why are you still afraid? And the second question, have you still no faith? Be a child to Jesus and be a great father and grandfather and parent to your children and grandchildren. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, we pray for and honor our fathers on this day. We know that they tried, each in their own ways, to raise us as they saw fit. Let us realize that through it all they loved us even when they could not show it. Lord, we who are fathers and grandfathers pray that we grow in holiness of spirit and in the love that comes from faith and holiness so that our children and grandchildren understand the love that you, our God, have for us. Amen.